Ursinus College supports WHYY and formally welcomes new president Brock Blomberg to Collegeville. For nearly 150 years, with Philadelphia as its backdrop, Ursinus has been committed to providing a vision of liberal education that empowers the intellect. The Collegeville campus houses the nation's largest collection of Chadwick sculptures, 32 Victorian residences, and the laboratory that helped spark interest in the world's first computer. Learn more at ursinus.edu/liberalarts.
Flu season's just getting underway, and in our region, officials are reporting a low level of activity. One thing you will see a lot of, ads to get the flu shot. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. The shot's supposed to be free, as WHYY's Alana Gordon explains. Hi, Alana.
Hi, Dave.
So, the flu shot. What does it cost, and why should we care?
Yeah, so the flu shot, available at pharmacies, a lot of doctors' offices offer it. Health officials say it's an important way to protect yourself and others from getting sick. And the shot's more accurate this year, so it's big business. Manufacturers are making 170 to 180 million doses this season. And under the Affordable Care Act, the flu shot is completely covered. But there are caveats. I talked with John Cohen. He's a reporter with Science Magazine. And he wrote a piece for Slate about his own experience, kind of dizzying. He stopped in at a convenient Rite Aid in California in his neighborhood.
Pharmacies have giant signs out front say, come on in, get your flu shot today. And you walk in, fill out the paperwork, and get up there. And they told me, your insurance company doesn't cover this.
He went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth three times to try and get a reimbursed vaccine. So he hasn't seen a lot of logic to it. But in order for a flu shot to be covered, the big takeaway is a person has to go to a place that's in their insurance network. So that may not include a convenient pharmacy you were thinking of stopping at. So a person has to figure out if the provider is in network. Again, that's not always the case, especially for people who have individual marketplace plans. It's also case-to-case when it comes to other employer-based coverage.
Alana, it's starting to sound confusing and inconvenient.
It can be. Some people may just opt to pay out of pocket at a pharmacy. All of this is why we're interested in hearing from you listeners from around the region. We want to hear what you were charged, what your insurance paid, and what you actually paid out of pocket, if anything, for your flu shot. Then this will turn into a searchable database, and we'll report back on what we learn.
Toward what end?
A lot of this just isn't listed anywhere. Big chains do have their cash prices, and we've already actually put that into the price check database. So if you go to whyy.org/price check, you can search some of that. So as an example, we've learned prices for a regular flu shot range anywhere from $15 at Costco to $32 at Rite Aid. But even if it's free to you, your insurance is paying something for it. So I talked with LJ Tan about this. He's with the Immunization Action Coalition, and he's also a co-chair of a National Adult Influenza Immunization Summit.
No, it's not free to the payers. That's why premiums are going up.
Meaning it is costing the health system something. And Tan wonders, are some doctors not getting paid much and dropping out of offering the shot? And then we're also wondering, are some places charging a lot more?
And all that's proprietary. We don't have data on that, which is what's so frustrating. We're trying to get that data, and we're trying to figure that out.
But you, when you get your bill, your explanation of benefits, you do get that individual information about what you were charged, what your insurance paid, and then, of course, what you paid. And these prices can vary case by case, depending on your insurance and where you go. So we're trying to pool all that knowledge together.
Alana, where do you go to put in the data and search for data?
So we have an explainer at whyy.org/thepulse. But what you do is once you get that bill or explanation of benefits, you go to whyy.org/price check.
Thanks, Alana.
Thank you.
WHYY's Alana Gordon on NewsWorks Tonight. Newcastle County, Delaware police have made an arrest in a 30-year-old Wilmington murder several states away. Sandra Hartsag is being held in Dalton, Georgia, in connection with the death of Joseph Braun. The body of the 54-year-old retired school teacher was found inside his Wilmington home July 1st, 1985. Evidence taken from Braun's home and his car, along with a 1999 tip connecting a relative to the murder, led police to a deceased suspect. Newcastle County Corporal Tracy Duffy says it also led them to the suspect's then-girlfriend.
The two men also gave detectives a new lead by stating that the suspect's girlfriend, Sandra Hartzag, was present and involved in the murder. Investigators learned Hartzag was arrested in Philadelphia in 2001, which helped them to positively link her to Joseph Braun's home and his vehicle.
Though police are not spelling out what accounts for all the time between the tip in 1999 and the arrest now. Hartzag is awaiting extradition to Delaware. She faces murder, robbery, and conspiracy charges. Cyber charters are appealing a case out of Delaware County that reduced their tuition rate for special education students. WHYY's Laura Benchoff reports that the battle to overhaul funding in the Chester Upland School District could have wide-ranging consequences.
Last month, Judge Chad Kenney ruled that Pennsylvania could cut funding to charter schools in Chester Upland, a school district plagued by debt. By his order, charter schools in that district now receive about $27,000 per special education student instead of the $40,000 they were getting. Now, some of those charters are fighting back.
The challenge is to the special education rate specifically, but there's an implicit challenge to the base rate as well.
Lawyer Phil Murren represents Commonwealth Connections Academy, one of four cyber charters appealing Kenny's decision. He says while only cyber charters are going back to court, the outcome could affect any charter school that educates students in a financially challenged district.
There seems to be a conflict between the charter school law, which sets the reimbursement formula, and the way in which Judge Kenney has interpreted the school district financial recovery law.
That law lets districts that have been declared financially distressed, like Philadelphia, Duquesne, and Chester, take extraordinary measures to balance their books. Sometimes those measures come up against other laws. The case likely won't come before the bench until 2016. In the meantime, charter schools in Chester are receiving the reduced tuition rate. I'm Laura Benchoff, WHYY News.
Heroin is cheap, available, and increasingly popular with young adults. And now some Bucks County school districts are joining in the fight in a new way. WHYY's Diana Allen reports they're stocking the overdose antidote Narcan.
Since September, Bucks County's Quakertown, Palisades, and Council Rock school districts have been stocked with naloxone, also called Narcan.
Unfortunately, like other suburban communities in Quakertown, our area has been struggling with the war on heroin. Drugs affecting many young adults or late teens. Our community has experienced overdoses where the heroin is, unfortunately, it's the drug of choice right now.
Robert Lee is Quakertown's school resource officer and the only one trained to use the antidote. He has experience recognizing signs of an overdose.
Usually what you find is shallow breathing, discolored face, very unresponsive, visible track marks on the arm.
The walls behind him at Quakertown High School are decorated with posters from a support group for drug users. Lee shows me his naloxone trainer. It's square-shaped and resembles an EpiPen, the device people use to stop severe allergic reactions.
Place black end against outer thigh, then press firmly and hold in place for 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Injection complete.
Quakertown obtained the antidote drug through a grant with St. Luke's Hospital. The Bucks County Drug and Alcohol Commission says the number of people younger than 26 seeking drug treatment is growing significantly. Among this age group, heroin is the leading drug for the fourth year in a row. Even so, most students are not aware of naloxone. Quakertown senior Nick Rubellino only just heard about it, but supports making the antidote available at school.
My first impression of having it in our school is that it's a good move to make sure we have the right type of equipment just in case something like an overdose would happen on school grounds. Because Officer Lee said it's a growing issue and it could easily spill onto school property, and if we have that issue, it's always good to have.
Not all feedback has been positive. Some have told the district overdoses act as a warning and that naloxone will only enable people to stay addicted. Diane Rosati, the executive director of the Bucks County Drug and Alcohol Commission, says the enabling concern is a myth.
After folks are saved through naloxone, it's extremely important to offer treatment opportunities to those folks. Anybody who experiences an overdose is certainly at a high risk of another potentially fatal overdose. So we want to be able to offer services to that person and support to them as well. So we'll be working on how we can reach out to those folks to stop the cycle.
None of the three high schools have used naloxone yet, but the antidote is credited for saving 40 lives in the county since March. I'm Diana Allen, WHYY News.
Turning to this evening's headlines, two companies have won the right to build windmills off the New Jersey coast to generate enough power for up to 1.2 million homes. The U.S. Interior Department's Bureau of Ocean Energy Management says the lease sales will bring in nearly $2 million. Negotiators are finding common ground on some major issues now in the fifth month of Pennsylvania's budget stalemate, though other issues remain unresolved and many details are still fuzzy. Some preliminary details include a budget in excess of $30.7 billion, boosted by slot machine gambling revenue that currently is passed along to homeowners as school property tax cuts. That money for property tax cuts would be replaced by a sales tax increase of about $2 billion. Schools would get hundreds of millions of new dollars. A deal would not include a new tax on Marcellus Shale natural gas production, but a cigarette tax increase is under discussion. 55 degrees, cloudy on Independence Mall. It's 617. Cloudy skies this evening, rain beginning overnight, low 52. Count on showers tomorrow. Tuesday's high, 62 degrees. For Veterans Day, starting off cloudy. Then we'll see some breaks of sunshine. Wednesday's high again in the low 60s. Still ahead, customers bid farewell to a Wilkes-Barre bartender who's served up drinks and laughs for more than half a century.
They leave with a smile on their face because now they know someone else is in sympathy with them. That's what I did all these years.
NewsWorks Tonight bellies up to the bar after this.
The Barbara Brodsky Suites at Lankenau Medical Center support WHYY. Complementing Lankenau Medical Center's commitment to quality patient care, the suites are designed with their patients' privacy and well-being in mind. Each suite features private living and dining areas, personalized amenities, and concierge services. Designed to be warm and inviting, the Barbara Brodsky Suites provide a novel option in private hospital accommodations. To take a virtual tour, mainlinehealth.org/Brodsky.
Fox Chase Cancer Center, part of Temple Health, supports WHYY and Lung Cancer Awareness Month. As a major research center, Fox Chase offers both lung cancer screening and advanced treatments for lung cancer, including immunotherapy, chemoradiation, and minimally invasive and robotic lung surgery. In addition, Fox Chase is constantly working to develop new ways to fight lung cancer. Their clinical trials give patients access to new options, sometimes years before they become widely available. Learn more at foxchase.org.
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Early Mars was much more Earth-like, with an atmosphere and bodies of water, until they were gone with the wind. Let's hearken back to days of yore with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Now, Derek, those days of yore were a little over 4 billion years ago. At that time, do we know much about the composition of Mars's atmosphere or how much water was on the planet?
When we look at the surface of Mars today, it indicates that there was indeed a tremendous amount of water there all over the planet, oceans worth. And so when we think about a planet that has oceans worth of water, that immediately tells us that there typically is a very serious atmosphere and that there's some sort of hydrologic cycle going on in order for that water to circulate around.
Though that atmosphere didn't necessarily resemble our composition of oxygen, nitrogen, et cetera.
Didn't have to do that, but at least we know it was a dense atmosphere. And since that time, we can now see that Mars is very, very different from what the surface geology indicates was the case at some time ago. So the question then becomes, what happened to all that water? What happened to the atmosphere that would have supported that water as a liquid gathering in these, you know, great basins across the planet. We have a dense atmosphere with liquid water all over the place. So if we look at the differences between Earth and Mars now, what we learn is that, first of all, Mars is nowhere near as big as Earth is, about half the size of Earth. And because of that, we know that the gravitational pull on the planet is nowhere near that of Earth. So that's one factor. But the other thing that we can take into account is the fact that the Earth has an internal core that's still molten. And the rotational motion of that molten core generates the magnetic field that we have that protects Earth from the solar wind. The solar wind is this blast of electromagnetic particles that streams out away from the sun at a rate of about 1,000,000 miles an hour. Fortunately, the magnetic field deflects that solar wind and protects the atmosphere. If there were no magnetic field, then what could happen is the electromagnetic particles could collide with the atmosphere and begin to strip it away. And indeed, the MAVEN spacecraft that's been in orbit around Mars for the last year and a half, 2 years or so, has been able to identify that because the magnetic field is no longer in existence, that's probably the mechanism that allowed for the atmosphere to be stripped away.
This is not a reversible process, even in theory, right? Once that core is gone, it's gone.
Once that core is gone, it's gone. So, you know, the idea of trying to terraform Mars now runs into yet another impediment, and that is that if we could manage to generate enough atmosphere somehow by adding water to the planet or something of that sort, we have no real mechanism to hold it there or to protect that atmosphere from solar wind. So it looks as if we're planning to build any large colonies or cities on Mars, they better be under some sort of protective dome or underground.
Derek, we have a moment left. What's available to be seen in the night sky this week?
Well, the Pre-Dawn Planets are the best show ever, still going on in the morning before sunrise. If you get out this week, you can't help but just love the view. Jupiter, Venus, and Mars all lined up, one after another, coming down toward the horizon. You can't miss them. They're all nice and bright, and they're sitting right there on the eastern side of the sky. But if you can't do morning, you can always do some night stuff. Night Skies at the Observatory is this Thursday, November 12th, starts at 6 p.m. Professor Michael Vogley from Drexel University will be there to help us understand just where in the universe our solar system and our galaxy are positioned.
You mean we're not in the very dead center?
Well, Dr. Vogley is going to help us understand that, so drop in on Thursday and come find out.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.
You find Earth boring, just the same old, same thing. Come on, sign up with Outer Space Ways Incorporated.
In northeastern Pennsylvania over the weekend, bartender Joe Philistine served his last drink after attending bar at Donahue's Hourglass Lounge for 53 years. As WHYY's Bobby Allen reports, 80-year-old Philistine gained a following in the city of Wilkes-Barre for his ability to understand everyone and for his theatrical touch.
Okay. Be right with you.
Leaning over a marble U-shaped bar and looking out from his large-framed glasses, Joe Philistine is doing what he does best, quizzing customers with obscure bits of trivia.
When I was a kid, I read the almanac over and over, so I know all these little silly facts.
Longtime customers know you can't stump this guy.
When did Joe Louis win the title and stuff like that, or who's the oldest person to become a president, who's the youngest, stuff like that. Silly stuff. It doesn't mean anything except it's interesting.
Talking to people is what he does best. After serving in the Army, Philistine came back to his hometown of Wilkes-Barre. In 1962, when the city was a little bigger than it is today, he had a conversation with his brother-in-law, who had just opened the bar.
And he said, how about helping me out for a couple of months? I says, all right, not doing anything. 53 years later, I'm still here.
Over the years, he became known for a lot of things, like performing. Just ask what inspired his signature drink, which he calls...
Sleepy Lagoon. That's what I call it. I call it Sleepy Lagoon.
There's something minty about it. I can't place it.
Mint is in there.
Okay.
We were watching an old movie, and Frank Sinatra was singing, a sleepy lagoon, a tropical moon, a kiss in the dark. And I said, I'm going to name it the Sleepy Lagoon.
Others come in for his handwriting analysis. Write out a sentence and he'll unpack meaning in the pen movements. Danielle Bennett handed Philistine a bar napkin with some of her writing on it.
You have a you have an even disposition. Wonderful. You would love, though, to be your own boss. You would love to be. You're a very independent type, very independent type.
It sounds pretty accurate. I'm a social worker, so a lot of what he said is it does hit on.
Hundreds of other long-timers and first-timers stopped by on Saturday to wish Philistine off. Bennett, for one, hadn't been before. She says South Main Street has a different reputation than where she's from, 20 minutes away.
I was a little concerned to come to South Wilkes-Barre, but it's all right.
The mayor of Wilkes-Barre, by official proclamation, also honored Joe. He said the bar's last day will officially be declared Joe Philistine Day. What are Joe's takeaways from serving sleepy lagoons and cheap bottled beers all these years? That people don't gather at bars to get drunk, he says. They come for a connection.
If they have something bothering them and they talk it over, they leave with a smile on their face because now they know someone else is in sympathy with them. It doesn't hurt anybody to have a little sympathy. That's what I did all these years.
His perspective was always level-headed for more ways than one. He hasn't had a drink himself since the 60s.
I'm not trying to say everybody should stop what I did, but that's what I did. I wanted to be able to remember.
What does he think the bar will be remembered for?
Love of humanity and sympathy for the downtrodden. That's Donahue's.
Arthur Schumann has known Philistine since 1985. He says it's hard to come by people like him these days.
They just need somebody like Joe to keep their spirits up and make them laugh. He's one of a kind.
Philistine sold the bar to a new owner, and he'll be moving out of his little upstairs apartment in a couple weeks. If it wasn't for his arthritis, he says he'd keep at it. The big crowds on Saturday made him think maybe he should open another bar. If he does, he says it will be called Joe Rides Again. For WHYY News, I'm Bobby Allen.
A sleepy lagoon, a tropical moon, and two on an island.
That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Benyakov and Kimberly Haas. Find us on iTunes or listen at newsworks.org. This week, athletes at the University of Pennsylvania are finding themselves in an unusual arena, a bodybuilding show. We'll have that story tomorrow evening. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.
A star from on high falls out of the sky.
Supporting WHYY Germantown Friends School. Learning is for life. This idea is at the heart of Germantown Friends School, where the years from kindergarten through 12th grade are viewed as just one chapter in a long learning adventure. At GFS, the sense of the power and value of education defines the daily work. Students learn that the world is theirs to experience, to understand, to create, and to change. Learn more about the GFS K-Life mission at an open house on Wednesday, November 11th, 8:15 to 11 a.m. Reservations at germantownfriends.org.
On the next Fresh Air, cartoonist Riyad Satouf. He's well known in France, where he had a cartoon strip in the magazine Charlie Hebdo for 9 years. He had stopped working there before the jihadist attack in January. Volume 1 of Satouf's graphic memoir, The Arab of the Future, has just been translated in English and tells the story of his childhood, growing up in Libya, Syria, and France. Join us.
Tonight at 7 on WHYY-FM.
Virtua proudly supports WHYY. This is the time of year to sign up for health insurance. When choosing a health insurance plan, it's important to know whether your doctor or hospital is included. If you want to use a Virtua physician, hospital, or outpatient service, you can find out if Virtua is in the plan you're considering by calling 888-VIRTUA-3. That's 888-VIRTUA-3. Virtua proudly supports WHYY.